Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. Welcome to the audio podcast of my show, Be My Guest. I've invited some really interesting people to visit me. Some are old friends and some are new friends. We'll share stories that will hopefully amuse and inspire you. And you're invited too. How fun is that? I'd love to invite interesting people to my house for good food, great conversation, and lots of fun. My wonderful friend Nathan Lane, the incredible award-winning actor, is joining me for an amazing day at the barn.
She's invited me over to give me a cooking lesson and have a little chat. How lucky am I? The bad news is, I don't cook.
We're talking work.
I'm waiting to be found out. They'll find out I'm a fraud, and I've just kept this going for many years.
And life.
My father was an alcoholic.
And you saw it, which was really painful. I'm making his favorite dessert, rice pudding, spiked with rum and raisins.
Who doesn't love rice pudding?
I don't want to know them. It's that simple. Then we're picking herbs.
Oh, what big chives you have.
I'm teaching Nathan how to make mussels with saffron cream.
All right, okay. It's your funeral. Okay.
Then we're heading out to East Hampton for a fun surprise dessert.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Oh, what a glorious day.
Dream guest.
Dream host.
Everybody loves Nathan Lane, including me. He's actually been to dinner, but I've invited him back because I just thought it'd be really nice to spend more time talking about his life, his amazing career, and of course, he's just so much fun. And I found out we both love rice pudding, so I'm making him rum raisin rice pudding. Starts with 3/4 cup of raisins, 2 tablespoons of rum, good rum. I'm just going to soak the raisins just while I make the rest of the rice pudding. It just absorbs all that rum. Yum. Okay, so for the rice pudding, I'm going to put in 3/4 cup of basmati rice. I think basmati rice kind of has more starch in it, so it makes really kind of creamy rice pudding. 1.5 cups of water and some salt, about 1/2 teaspoon. It's interesting that salt makes sweet things taste better as well. I'm just going to turn on the heat, bring this to a boil, lower the heat and simmer it for 8 minutes. And while that happens, let me tell you about my fantastic guest. Nathan Lane is one of the greatest stage and screen actors of all time. He was brought up in New Jersey, where he started performing in high school. He's famous for both comedic and also very serious roles on stage and in the movies. And he's won many prestigious awards, Tonys, a Screen Actors Guild, and an Olivier. He's been in more than 40 musicals and plays, like A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, the historic and brilliant The Producers, the revival of Angels in America, and The Iceman Cometh. But it doesn't stop there. He's also had leading roles in great movies like Birdcage, and he's the voice of Timon in The Lion King. On TV, he's been in so many great shows like The Good Wife, Modern Family, and most recently, Only Murders in the Building and The Gilded Age.
He is a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and luckily lives nearby in East Hampton.
Nathan is like world-class smart and hilarious. This is going to be such a great day. Okay, so the rice has been cooking for 8 minutes. It's absorbed all the water and it's partially cooked. So now I'm going to add some other things. I'm going to add 4 cups of half and half because why not? If you're going to make rice pudding, it's got to be really good rice pudding. 1/2 cup of sugar. Okay, I'm just going to give this a stir and then turn up the heat. Bring it to a boil, and then lower the heat and simmer it for 25 minutes, and it's going to be just creamy and delicious. And then I'm going to finish it just before Nathan gets here.
I'm just not good in the kitchen. Never have been. But I'm hoping that today, all that will change, and my life will start anew.
Okay, Nathan's going to be here any minute. I just want to finish the rice pudding. All the rice is cooked, and it's all incorporated with the cream. Okay, a few more things. First, I always put an egg in it. Just thickens it a little bit. Gives it a little richness, like it needed more richness. And just stir it in and let it cook into the rice pudding. You can make rice pudding by baking it, but I really like it this way. I think it comes out creamier. Just cook that a little bit. Okay, next is 1 cup of half and half, just because I didn't have enough half and half in it before. 1 1/2 teaspoons of vanilla. Okay, and then the raisins that have been soaked in rum. And I just dumped the whole thing in, the raisins and the rum at the bottom, but most of it is soaked into the raisins. I'm just gonna keep this warm and get all set up for Nathan.
We are now approaching Ina Garden's house. And let me tell you, she's done very well for herself. This cooking thing is really working out. Ooh, there's an old George S. Kaufman line. When he saw Moss Hart's home in Bucks County, he said, "This is what God would have done if he'd had the money." Oh, Ina! Ina! Hello?
Nathan!
Ina!
Hi. Come right in.
This is so exciting. I can't tell you. How are you?
I'm so happy to see you.
I'm very happy to see you.
It's been too long.
You brought your own drink?
I did.
You don't think we
this
have drinks
they,
here?
In the South, they call this a traveler.
A traveler.
But it'll be tinkling with ice.
So I made rice pudding. I understand you like rice pudding.
I love rice pudding.
Good.
Who doesn't love rice pudding?
I don't want to know them. It's that simple. Actually, I used to make this for my father. My mother wouldn't let him have any cholesterol at all. So I used to sneak him rum raisin rice pudding
really?
All the time.
Oh, look at that.
The last time I saw you was like years ago. When our mutual friend Susan Stroman, who's director, choreographer.
The great Susan Stroman.
Invited you for dinner. It
yes.
was so much fun.
I remember you made
You remember what
whiskey
I made?
Sours.
I did.
My mother used to drink whiskey if she went out. She was not a drinker, but if she went out, she at dinner, she would have one whiskey sour. And then her face would get very flush, very red. They were powerful whiskey sours.
Mine?
Yeah,
yours. Oh, yeah, they were.
No, I remember very little of that evening. Yes, I believe I woke up in Montauk in my underwear, but that's another story.
With your underwear on your head?
That's right.
Well, I'm so happy to see you. So how about some rice pudding, no matter what time of day it is?
Okay.
That's for you.
Wow.
Or do you want to bring the pot?
Oh, it's nice and warm.
It's warm. Yeah, it's nice when it's warm, isn't it? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Let's go to the table.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Look, I was already, I couldn't wait to start
do you want
eating.
To bring your coffee?
Yes, yes.
I'll bring it.
How's okay.
That?
I can't get over how beautiful this is.
Thank you.
How impeccably done. I'm not surprised, but...
We do impeccable.
I am very impressed. This is...
Thank you.
This is my kind of kitchen.
Do you want to start with rice pudding?
Well, I think we should.
I think we should.
Oh, Ina.
Is that okay?
Oh, Ina, this is a... Oh my!
He likes my rice pudding.
Goodness,
thank you.
This is
it's pretty good, right?
Stupendous,
life affirming.
Wow.
Thank
and
you.
I like rice pudding.
Yeah, I do too.
But this is almost a sexual experience. This, wow, the raisins, whatever.
What I think it's the rum.
The rum?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's get started. So tell me about your childhood.
So my grandmother sort of would look after me. We only lived a few blocks from my grandmother. She was just a great person. She was a great cook.
Oh, she was?
Yes,
oh. A wonderful... Did you love to watch her cook?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And she was one of those people who could just find a few things and just whip up some great meal,
oh,
you know,
lovely.
Out of nothing. And she, yes, she was very loving and protective of me.
Your father was... really in trouble, right?
My father was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And
you saw it, which was really painful.
Yes, it was it was painful.
Yeah.
And he was not really present. You know, he was always out,
oh, really?
Out drinking.
Oh, wow.
And then he would come. I would only see him sort of recovering, oh. You know, with a hangover, or he would be gone and or come home drunk. And my mother had to... You know, she had three children, and so she had to take control, and she went to work and became, she was a secretary in the prosecutor's office in Jersey City for many years. I guess that, you know, my oldest brother, Dan, is the one who sort of felt he had to take on a paternal role in that way.
And he was much older than you, right?
Yes.
And then they decided... Yeah. To put you in
well, you
Catholic
know, there was
school?
A, yes, I went to Catholic school. Our Lady of Guantanamo Bay. It was, you know, Dominican nuns, an elite task force.
With a ruler, right?
Dominican nuns.
And it's a wonder, did like exercise any creativity from you?
Well,
so, did you
I will
out?
Say that the Catholic Church is rather theatrical. I mean, there's a stage. Everyone's wearing costumes.
There's a guy in a dress.
There's a guy in a dress. I was an altar boy for a while. And I was put in at the last minute, like an understudy, for there was a high mass. And I was the bell ringer. And so there was a bell. It was
like
a huge
like
thing. There were like 16 bells on this thing that you would have to pick up and shake. But it wasn't clear, at least not to me, when I was supposed to do it. And it was sort of like if he raised the chalice, you would ring the bells. If he, you know, said something, and then you would ring the bells. So just to be on the safe side, I was ringing the bells. Anything that looked important, he scratched his head. I rang the bells.
Bell.
And finally, he's going, Dominus Verbiscum, when the mass was in Latin, Dominus Verbiscum, and he turned around and said, will you knock it off with those bells? So it's a very theatrical religion in that way.
So you were like 18, you decided, I think I'm just going to go to New York.
I was supposed to go to college, and then I didn't, and money was an issue. I was living with my mother in Rutherford, New Jersey at the time.
I think you might have told your mother that you were meeting a girl.
Oh, well, yes. When I was moving to New York, the night before I left, I sat her down, and I said, you know, I know you think I've been seeing a girl, but I have to, you know, I've always been honest with you. And I have to tell you, I've been seeing a guy, and you know, sort of the blood drained from her face. And she said, oh, you have to realize this was a little Irish Catholic lady from Jersey City.
Right, and a long time ago.
And a long time ago.
Yeah.
She said, in a very regretful tone, I would rather you were dead.
Oh, God.
And I said, I knew you'd understand. But that was sort of the worst of it.
But she got to see your success.
Oh, she did.
So she understood.
She did. And, and you know, success makes a huge difference, you know, with especially with that. She met people that I was involved with over the years.
That's great.
I can't say she suddenly embraced it, really, but I, you know, she...
But she learned to live with it.
Yes, she did.
Which is great.
And,
Okay, so what are you doing, and how are you supporting yourself?
I had done this tour, and I sort of continued to do it from time to time, which was a musical review about the history of New Jersey. called Jers. Yes.
The musical history of New Jersey.
History of New Jersey, yes. And then they also did a show. This is how I got my equity card. They did a musical about the metric system. There was a there was a moment where we were going to go metric.
Oh, I know that moment.
And we were, and it was, so the show was called, it was a, another musical review called One for Good Measure.
Oh, my.
And that's how I got my equity card.
Okay.
So
which you were originally Joseph Lane.
I was originally Joseph
Lane. And in order
Joseph
to get
Lane.
Your equity card, what yes. did you have to do?
Well, when I went, the woman said, there's already a Joseph Lane yeah. in the union.
And did people call you Joe?
Yes, yeah. yes, and you're going to have to change your name. And I was like
wait a minute. That's crazy.
You know, and I, you know, so I said, give me a minute.
Give me a minute to change your name?
And I had played Nathan Detroit in Guys yeah. and Dolls, yeah. and I had played Benjamin Franklin in a production,
Benjamin and Nathan,
in a production of 1776. Yes, so I was either going to be Nathan or Benjamin Lane.
Yeah.
And I thought Nathan Lane had a better rhythm, and so I went over and I said, I'll be Nathan, Nathan Lane.
Isn't that amazing?
And that was...
And that was the beginning of your Nathan Lane-dom.
Yeah, I mean, literally, many years later, wow. they contacted me and said, Joe Lane died.
And now you can be Joe Lane?
You could be Joe Lane. I said, well, it's too late now.
I'm Nathan Lane, what are you talking about? Yeah. Who's Joe?
Yeah, poor Joe.
So your first Broadway show was Neil Coward's Present Laughter?
Yes. So I auditioned and, you know, I heard George laugh, George C. Scott, you know, who was yeah. one of the great actors. I heard him laughing and I thought, oh, this, you know, is this going well? And then only like a couple of days later, they called and said, you have the job.
Oh, how and great. What did that feel like?
Oh, my God. I jumped.
That's huge.
I jumped around the room screaming. And, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. Dude, I was going to make my Broadway debut with George C. Scott.
And from 1982, I think yeah. you have worked every single moment since then.
Oh,
am I right?
Well.
Up to now?
No, I mean, no, sure, there's been.
It's just stunning.
Is it?
Does well,
it,
at what
it,
point
I'm glad
did you realize,
it seems that way.
No, it just seems like you're always doing something really interesting. And is there a moment when you just thought to yourself, I think this is going to work. This is going to work out.
Yeah, last Tuesday. I think there's always that.
There's always a thing.
There's always that feeling. I'm waiting to be found out. They'll find out I'm a fraud, and I've just kept this going for many years.
Yeah. Coming up, Nathan's greatest stories from stage, screen, and relationships. Then it's time for a cooking tutorial and a sweet surprise.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well.
If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think people understand how hard Broadway theater is.
Actors are always talking about how difficult it is.
Oh, they are, really? It is so hard. Are there days when you get up in the morning and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. And some of the best performances are the ones where you thought, I don't want to be here. I don't want to play today.
So then 1992, you play Nathan in Guys and Dolls.
That's right.
Was that fun?
Guys and Dolls, to me, is the quintessential musical comedy.
Yeah.
And I got to play Nathan Detroit.
Detroit. Your namesake.
Yes, my namesake. The expectations were really high. Mm. And yes, I'll always remember the opening night. The publicist came and he showed me, it was the cover of the New York Times, and that had never happened before. Where a theater
was on the
experience
cover of
was
on the front page
was,
of the Times.
Made the front page. It was very imaginative, and it was a very, it was a joyous, it was a joyous production.
Yeah. And so then you decided you're going to just jump off a cliff and do more film, right? Which brings up Birdcage.
Oh, the Birdcage.
Was it crazy?
I was just this working New York actor.
Yeah.
And occasionally I would audition for films and get in them in little bits here and there.
Yeah.
And then Mike Nichols, he was going to direct this American version of La Cage aux Folles. And it was supposed to be Steve Martin and Robin Williams. And then Steve couldn't get out of this film commitment. And then Robin decided he didn't want to be in a dress again after doing Mrs. Doubtfire. He wanted to play the other part and thought the more restrained part would be more interesting and an acting challenge. And that the role of the drag queen opened up. and I suddenly had a
huge role.
A bigger profile.
Yeah. Isn't that great? So, I mean, there are so many projects, and I'm just picking a few along the way.
Sure.
You did The Addams Family.
Yes. I was doing this musical, The Addams Family. I sort of reached a crossroads, and I said, I have to make a change. I have to challenge myself more and challenge the audience. And then I went off, and I did The Iceman Cometh in Chicago.
The hardest play
probably,
in the history
probably
of theater,
the, other
right?
than Lear.
You're playing an alcoholic.
Right.
Which has to be hard for you because you've seen your father.
Yes.
Right? So it couldn't possibly, it's like the confluence of all the worst things you could imagine. And you think, oh, this is a good idea. I think I'll do this now.
It was the best thing I could have done for myself as an actor.
Because the adrenaline's going.
And it scares you a little.
A little.
Or it scares you a lot.
How about sheer terror?
Right.
Okay, the producers. How did that change your life? That was amazing. First, tell me about Mel Brooks. I love him. I just adore him.
Mel, you know, he was a legend, but, you know, even legends, they have their down times. And so he had sort of fallen out of favor. It was like, oh, that's Mel Brooks. He did all those great movies. And then, you know, it was not so great. And this was kind of a renaissance, a rebirth for him, I felt. And the producers is which is like a museum of comedy, and has one of the greatest comic plots ever written. It was, you know, the perfect company of actors. It's all those elements that the right people came together at the right time.
And what's it like being on stage with Matthew Broderick every single night?
He's just one of the funniest and smartest people I know. And there was just this natural chemistry that happened. And we're both kind of opposites. And yet we have a very similar sense of humor. And
so you make everybody laugh all the time. I mean, it's just who you are.
Well,
it's just
not all the time.
It's an extraordinary gift. What makes you laugh?
What makes me laugh?
Yeah. Does Devlin make me laugh?
No.
Devlin's your husband.
Right, very much so.
Devlin, I think it's so critical to a good relationship.
Oh,
I mean,
it's
like, it's more important than anything
more
else.
More important than
I
anything.
I could never be with somebody who wasn't funny.
So Devlin, he does voices for the dogs. So we have these two rescue dogs, a 10-year-old beagle named Bernadette.
Like Bernadette Peters?
Yes, like that's who she was named after. And a 2-year-old named Woody, who's a mix.
Okay.
So Devlin does these voices. And Bernadette is, she's so sort of needy, and she'll climb on your knee, and she won't kiss you. But she stares deeply into your eyes.
Oh,
and then you
like
can sort
this.
Of hear, do you love me? Do you love me? Really? You know, and then Woody is like, play with me. Woody is like this little boy who always wants to play.
Yeah.
Play with me. Play with me. Please. So he does these two voices. And that
just
always
cracks you up.
Yeah, he
that's,
does little
so
creates little monologues for the dogs.
That's really great. So how long have you known Devlin? Where'd you meet?
I was doing a play by Terrence McNally called Love, Valor, Compassion. And there was a young man standing outside who just sort of complimented me on the show. And it was Devlin. But I had noticed him in the theater. And then many, many months later, I ran into him in a bar. And he came up to me and introduced himself. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Wow,
and
good for him.
He said,
that must have been brave.
And he said, no, you don't remember me. And I said, yes, you were at the play. You were sitting in the second row on the aisle, and you were wearing tweed pants and a
stunned.
Vest. And that's how it started.
And many years later, you got married, right?
Many
years
after
later.
It's not like nothing dramatic happened. Mm. It was very meaningful. Much more
wonderful.
So than I ever imagined.
What's a perfect day for you? Like you wake up in the morning and just go, oh my God, this is going to be such a great day.
When have I ever said that? Let's see. Watching an old movie, going to a great dinner, walking the dogs.
Yeah.
Rice pudding.
Rice pudding.
More rice pudding.
Is it still good?
Still good.
Still good. That's excellent. So does Devlin cook for you?
A little bit. He does very good sort of like Florentine eggs and some grilling, you know, the burger steak thing.
Jeffrey's tried grilling and I think once he almost set himself on fire. So
really?
we put an end to that very quickly. It was really bad. He set the bag of charcoal on fire.
Oh,
it was
really?
Like, should I call the fire department?
Oh,
it
yeah.
was bad. So we kind of like put that to rest.
Yeah. Oh.
So you must be hungry after all this
I'm
talk.
I'm starving. I am. I am, Ina. And I see you and I think great food.
So how about if I teach you how to make mussels in saffron cream?
That sounds like heaven.
Okay, great. Come on, let's go out to the garden. We have to get fresh herbs.
Oh.
Is that good?
Oh, that, okay. I feel such a part of the event.
So I'm going to give you a tour of the garden. How's that?
Oh, what a glorious day.
It's a gorgeous day,
isn't
it?
Really is.
It really is. So come with me. I'll show you. So this is a shade garden.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful garden.
Thank you.
What are these little Christmas things?
They're white astilbe.
White astilbe?
Yeah. Is that a test?
Well, no, I'm just...
They're white astilbe. Aren't they pretty?
It's pretty.
This is our little secret garden here. So this is all herbs and tomatoes. First thing we need is parsley.
Oh, look, and here's...
And we have parsley.
Happy.
You don't even have to go shopping. How about you hold it?
Oh, great.
And let's see, what else do we need? This is all lavender. And
do you use lavender in cooking?
I hate lavender in cooking.
Oh,
a lot of people do.
Me
like
too.
Lavender.
I hate lavender in cooking.
It's like lavender ice cream.
Ugh. Oh, no, I don't like that.
I don't like that at all. Horrible. Okay, so these are the largest chives in the world. And these actually have great flowers. I like the flowers.
Oh, these, yeah. Very,
chives.
Very big. Oh, what big chives you have.
And then we
this
need tarragon.
Nice. Tarragon.
Tarragon has like a little bit of an anise flavor. This is tarragon. These are the largest tarragon in history. How's
well,
that?
You're a real size queen.
I beg your pardon.
At least when it comes to vegetables.
Okay. And the last thing on the tour is my fig tree, which is just starting.
The fig tree?
Yeah. The secret of the fig tree is I never have a fig on them.
No?
Ever. Well, once in a while I have, but usually the birds get there first.
Oh.
But the leaves are great, like for a cheese plate or, you know, platter. They're fabulous.
Cheese plate.
For all the cheese plates that you make, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, cheese plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it would be nice to have a fig with
it
a
would.
Cheese plate.
An actual fig, you mean?
Yeah. That's the title of an old Broadway show.
What is?
The Fig Leaves Are Falling.
Literally?
From the 60s, that's yes. I forget who was in it, but The Fig Leaves Are Falling.
What a perfect day. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it really has turned out that way.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to show Nathan how to make mussels with saffron cream. But actually, I'm going to make you make it. You're going to do it. You're going to be great.
All right. Okay? Your funeral. Okay.
Okay, keep your fingers out of the way. Okay, so the first thing we need is a quarter of a stick of butter. Just cut it, like, right there.
Right there.
And put it right in the pot.
Right in the pot.
Big steam mussel
okay.
pot.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. Oh, my God, you're fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
You say that to all the boys.
Okay, the next thing is have a cup of shallots. Just dump that right in. Oh, wow. You chop them beautifully.
Oh,
I'm really
thank
impressed.
You.
Exactly. 1 tablespoon of garlic.
Ooh.
So shallots and garlic
oh.
and all that type, kind of oniony thing.
Right.
And this is the key ingredient is the saffron. This is stamens of crocuses. And
stamens of crocuses. That sounds like an old Jerry Lewis.
Okay, so this goes right in.
Oh, there we are. See?
Chef, how's it doing? Does that look good?
It smells great.
You're doing incredibly well. I'm really impressed.
It's so sad. Thank
okay.
you.
I'm going to show you how. The next thing is tarragon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you what we're going to do with the tarragon. So you want to take the leaves off the stem. Why don't you do that? How's that? Because the stem, you don't want to eat the stem. Just take the leaves off the stem, just like that.
Okay.
And then you take a knife.
Oh.
And I'll just start, and then you can finish. Just like that.
See that this is.
Should I stand back?
I feel 5 years old. This is something that I'm always fascinated when people can chop. You know when people just go and
oh,
they're talking
God.
To someone
oh,
and they're going like that.
I don't do that. That's how you get your fingers involved.
Right. Yeah.
That's like Bobby Flay territory. And doesn't it smell great? I love the smell of tarragon.
That is a great smell.
2 teaspoons. We'll just gauge it. How's
gauge.
That? Just okay. like that. Put it right in. Perfect. Okay, the next thing is 1/2 cup of white wine.
Okay.
And what that
I'm
does
I'm
going to
need
it,
this. Oh,
no, in the pot.
Oh, in the pot.
There's more for you.
Oh,
not to worry.
Lovely.
1 cup of heavy cream.
Oh, heavy cream.
Mmm.
Nice.
Makes everything taste better.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. Sadly, it does. Exactly.
Oh.
And the next thing is lemon zest. You know, one of the things I think about with cooking is that everything needs a little edge. Like,
yeah.
if it's just delicious and wonderful, it's great. But it needs, like, vinegar or lemon or something to give it a little edge.
Right.
So what I did was I put lemon zest in this.
Oh.
So I'll show you how to zest a lemon.
Oh, lemon zest. You have a zester?
He's a great audience. This is a zester. It actually is a rasp that came out of woodworking tools. And you just you run the lemon right along that.
Oh.
And you just want a little bit of an outer lemon,
that.
Just the yellow part. Isn't that great?
Beautiful thing.
And I love the smell of it, too. That's it. You can really feel that it's like taking off the outside. So we need 1 teaspoon of lemon zest. And that just think about the wine and the cream and the saffron and lemon and shallots.
I'm thinking about it.
Are you thinking
about it? I'm having such thoughts.
Isn't it great?
About...
And with
the combo.
It's just got great, rich, kind of like...
And is that,
really,
is that enough?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Perfect. And the way you want to pick it up is with a knife.
Oh,
because then
yes.
you get all the oils in it. And put it right into the...
Right in.
Right in.
Okay.
Perfect. See, you always knew how to cook. You just didn't know it.
No, this... Oh, when Devlin sees this... He will roar with laughter because he's seen me burn so many things.
Like toast?
As my old friend Carol Siska used to say, oh, honey, I use a smoke alarm as a timer.
That's great.
That was her joke. I use a smoke alarm as a timer.
So this just cooks a little bit to reduce it.
Oh.
And while that cooks, I'm going to show you about the mussels.
Oh,
how's that?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I always like to look at mussels.
Not that kind of mussels. Different kind of mussels. So what I did was I took the mussels and I soaked them in water with a little bit of flour. And what the flour does, when the mussels drink the water with flour, they kind of disgorge, that's the polite way to say, the sand. So it cleans them. Isn't that interesting?
Was this your discovery?
No, it wasn't really my discovery.
Oh, because
but I could say it was.
Sure.
I figured
well, who's
going
to argue with you?
Exactly.
I would never in a million years have guessed that was a way to get out the sand of the grit.
You know, when you taste a mussel and it's
yeah.
got sand, it's
oh,
just
the worst.
Ugh.
That's the worst.
The
and
worst.
Then you don't want to have anymore.
Exactly.
Are these alive?
These are alive. Yeah.
Oh, well, this is very sad. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very sad.
They've lived their lives for this sad. Moment so you could have fabulous mussels and saffron.
It's a sad end for the mussels.
But they don't know what's going to happen.
No,
they're just hanging out in water.
I know. But okay. You think a lobster might have told them something was going to happen.
So I'm just going to drain it because you don't want the water. Now they're wondering, where are we going? So that's reducing really nicely, isn't it?
Yes.
If
only I could reduce as nicely.
I know. Wouldn't it be great?
Oh.
Just sit on the stove and you're fine, right? Okay, we need salt and pepper. I'm going to
okay.
put in
Please.
2 teaspoons of salt. And 1 teaspoon of pepper. Okay. And now more wine.
Of course.
Cup of wine.
Oh, the mussels will be happy.
Very happy. They won't even know
that.
What hit
they
them,
won't.
Right? They'll have no idea. And they'll die with smiles on their faces.
Yes.
And I put a little bit of water in just to thin it out.
Does this thicken as it's cooking?
No, it's actually going to be the broth.
It's all more
so
of a broth.
More of a broth for it.
Okay.
So just bring that to a boil.
All right.
And while that's happening,
yes,
will you
dear.
Tell me about Mabel? I love your children's books.
Oh,
what made you and Devlin decide to write children's books?
Well, Mabel was our French bulldog. We had her for 14 years. And one day, when I would take Mabel out, very often when we would come out here, I don't drive, so I would hire a car. So there would be a black sedan waiting, and we would get in. I would get in with Mabel. Yeah. So every time I took her for a walk, she would head directly to any black sedan. And
thought she had a car and driver?
Well, she did. But it was like she was late for a movie premiere. And she was desperate to get in the back of any sedan, black sedan. And I was telling Devlin this, and I said, you know, we should write a children's book about an overprivileged French bulldog who lives in the Hamptons. And then he said, you know, I think that's actually a good idea. And that's sort of how it started. She was very funny. She was a wonderful dog.
Okay, time for the mussels. 4 pounds of mussels.
4 pounds.
All nicely cleaned. Just
beautiful.
Dump them right in.
Well, yeah.
And put the lid on.
Okay. Lid on.
And they're going to steam for 4 to 5 minutes.
Just like me.
And they're going to finish it with lots of herbs.
Oh, I love herbs.
And you're chopping them.
Get me get me a machete. I'm ready. We're talking to Ina Garten right now. She's going to tell us what she's about to do.
We're making mussels with saffron cream.
Oh,
and wait a minute. We're not making it. You're making it.
I'm making it,
yes. Exactly. Okay, so now we need lots of fresh herbs. I'm going to show you how to chop chives.
Look at this.
Just go. And this is the key. What you want to do is kind of rock the knife back and forth and use the blade.
Yeah, mama. Yeah,
yeah, baby. I'm going to stand way back.
You should.
You're doing great. So we need 2 teaspoons, which is about what that looks like. Okay, now I'm going to show you parsley. Okay, so with parsley, what you want to do is take the leaves off so you don't get stems in it. But it doesn't really matter. Unlike the tarragon, it's a soft stem. So this one, you gather up and you do the same thing. You rock it back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your fingers out of the way.
Oh.
That's it. Perfect. Okay, so I think the mussels are done. Why don't you take a lid off?
Okay. Oh, they're look
perfect.
At me.
They're all open.
And they opened
look how
up.
Fabulous. They all opened up.
They opened
and
up.
The sauce is in there. Perfect. And now you want to put 2 tablespoons of chives.
Yes, okay.
And 2 tablespoons of parsley. And that's it.
And that's it?
That's it. We're done.
Wow.
Want to taste it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Sure.
And I always serve it with French bread because you want to get all of that sauce.
Oh.
And this is mine.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think we need a little French bread for
yes.
it.
A warm baguette.
Warm baguette.
It doesn't get better than this. Oh, yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much.
I hope you like it. Wait a minute, you made it. I hope I like it.
No. You really were guiding me the whole way. Mmm.
Isn't that good? I love the saffron. Oh, you can really taste everything. All the
everything.
Herbs, right?
That is
but it's
fabulous.
It's perfectly layered.
Oh, that's good.
The bread's the best part, right?
Somehow I've eaten all the bread. How did that happen?
I don't know. Okay, next I have a surprise dessert for you. And it requires no cooking at all. The best. So how much do you love living here?
You know, I really love living here. I didn't even realize it until
there
was a shutdown, and we had to stay here because it was always more of a summer or weekend place. And then living here full time was just wonderful.
And here's Dylan's. That's a surprise dessert.
Oh, Dylan!
I love Dylan's candy ice cream.
I'm really surprised.
Okay, talk about kids in a candy store.
Oh,
anything you want.
This is like a dream I had the other night.
You were surrounded by candy?
You weren't here. It was just me and candy.
That's right. Yes. Can have that? Okay, good. Perfect.
This.
You can have it.
I'm sorry. I'll put
charge
it back.
This to Nathan, please. How about some ice cream? How's that?
How are we doing today?
Hi,
how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay, what would you like?
You know what I'm going to have?
What are you going to have?
The marshmallow mixed with vanilla and maybe some chocolate sauce.
We can do that.
Does that sound good?
That does
very
sound good.
Very creative.
Yeah,
we really
flavors.
Appreciate
what
that.
What about popular flavors? What would you have?
I'll have what he's having.
One marshmallow cloud, one vanilla coming up.
I have two of them.
Here we are.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate the visit today.
Bye.
Have a nice one.
Thank you.
Are you having regret about a flavor you didn't get?
That is the story of my life.
Little ice cream. Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, I have a pop quiz for you.
Okay.
What's the movie you've seen the most?
I would say Casablanca or All the President's Men.
Isn't that great? You can't stop watching it. Once you start, you can't stop watching it.
It's one of those are the kinds of movies, yes. When you turn it on, you have to continue watching to the end.
What's the food that makes you happy?
A great pasta, like a rigatoni and bolognese.
So good. What's the best job you've ever had?
The best job I ever had? I'm a lucky guy.
You're pretty good at it. That might have something to do with it.
Thank you. But, going back to the producers, I love playing that character.
And what's the worst job you've ever had?
Worst job I ever had, a summer job, and it was my job. There were damaged crates of bottled orange juice, and I would have to go and take out the broken glass and stuff, take out the bad ones, and replace them with good ones.
Oh, my God. And all summer?
There would be fruit flies everywhere. And it was incredibly depressing.
You've come a long way, baby.
I really have. I paid my dues.
What's the best present you ever got?
Well, the best present I ever got was from Terrence McNally and his husband, Tom Curtihy. They gave me and my husband, Devlin, our dog, Mabel.
Oh. Wrote a book about her.
Yes.
Two books about her.
Terrence always used to say, you should have a dog. And I would say, I really don't want a dog. And he said, no, he said, you can learn a lot from dogs about how to be a better human being. I said, okay.
And did you?
And eventually, and Devlin wanted a dog. And so when we were ready, he said, when you're ready, you let me know. And they did. And Mabel was the greatest
dog ever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
If you could come back as anything at all, what would you come back as?
I'd like to come back as Ryan Gosling, just to see what that's like. Must be good. It's got to be good to be Ryan Gosling, don't you think?
I think I want to come back as Mabel.
As Mabel?
How's that?
We take very good care of you.
Here's to the best day ever.
Oh,
so much fun.
Same here.
Thank you
so much.
Just loved spending
it's
the
been
day with you.
A great joy.
I mean, how wonderful is this?
It's a perfect day, perfect company.
Perfect company. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure spending time with Ina. And
to be taught how to make muscles. How to make muscles. All these years, I've never known how to make muscles.
What a day. I love that Nathan creates these incredible characters on the stage, on film, on TV. But the one I like best is Nathan himself.
So thank you, Ina. It was just a beautiful day. And I hope we can do it again soon. Love you.
I loved talking to him. That was really fun. I wonder if he's going to make those muscles for Devlin. Why do I think I'll be making it for both of them? Thank you for listening to Be My Guest. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a moment, I'd love to hear your comments on Apple Podcasts. I'll be back next week with new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you'll join us.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.